The Carolina Hurricanes season has come to an end, and today we will be sitting down with the voice of PNC Arena, Wade Minter, to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes season, his experiences as PA announcer, and much, much more, all in this episode of Locked On Hurricanes.
You're Locked On Hurricanes, your daily podcast on the Carolina Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey there, Caniacs. I'm your host, Jared Ellis, and you're listening to Locked On Hurricanes on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. And as always, thank you for making Locked On Hurricanes your first listen of this Thursday afternoon. And I am joined once again by my co-host, Andrew Schnitker, and today, the voice of PNC Arena, Wade Minter. How are you fellas doing today?
I'm doing great. It is wonderful to see my good friend, Wade Minter. It has been far too long.
It has been a minute, hadn't it? I'm doing well, kind of adjusting to off-season life at this point. My 3 months or so of not doing Kane stuff. So, yeah, just planning some summer vacation and looking forward to next season.
Yeah, I feel that. I finally upgraded from my Black Ops 3 edition PS4. That should date that one into the new PS5 behind me. So, you know, that's going to be fun. I was playing the new Guardians of the Galaxy game just before recording. But, you know, diving into the Carolina Hurricanes, Wade, the Hurricanes had 32 sellouts in the regular season. And if I remember correctly, every home playoff game was a sellout as well. From your position up there in now the press box rather than down on the ice, what was the energy like for you through all of it?
It was great. This has been a big year. I know we didn't quite make it to where we wanted to go, but a lot of great memories, a lot of just excitement around the team. And, you know, when you build a consistent winner like the front office has, like Rod Brendamore has, people want to be part of that. And I think the number of sellouts we saw is a testament to that. And just the energy in the building. You know, I talked to friends, fellow PA announcers, and they're all very complimentary of, you know, how this comes across on TV. I talk to people in the community. They talk about how much fun it is to be at PNC Arena. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things where the sellouts are really a testament to the work the team has put in. You know, we all remember the dark days, kind of my first couple years on the microphone where, you know, Tuesday night against Ottawa would draw, you know, 7,000 people and it would feel like less. Now you're getting sellouts during the weekdays, you're getting sellouts on the weekends, and it's a lot more fun to announce to a big crowd than a small crowd, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine so. And, you know, you talk about them, you know, falling a little short, you know, not getting to the Stanley Cup final, but, you know, myself, Andrew, and a lot of other folks are like, you know, this team, Eastern Conference final, that's where they need to get in this playoff, you know, get over that second round hump that they're struggling to get past. And they did do that. Didn't play the team we expected to play. I think everyone had kind of penciled Boston in on that one, but that didn't happen. And, you know, so I guess, you know, they achieved expectations in that regard. But who for you had been some of the key players in the team getting to that point this year?
I think it was really pretty much – I think it was really every person was contributing. And that's great to see because in past years where we haven't quite made it to the spot in the playoffs where we wanted to be, you've been leaning on your top players and really haven't got a lot of production from everybody else. So, you know, Andrei Svechnikov was having an amazing season before he got hurt. Sebastian Aho was having an amazing season throughout the regular season. Martin Natchez really stepped it up. Jesperi Kotkaniemi played really well. The defense, especially when you ended up adding Shane Gostisbehere, was, again, lights out, just kind of the standard for the league. And you had really good goaltending. Three goalies, with more than 10 wins. Frederik Andersen played exceptionally well, especially during the playoffs. Antti Raanta had stretches where he was lights out and a very, very capable second option that you could push into the first option. Pyotr Kochetkov came up when there were some injuries. He played well. So it really was a top to bottom effort. You know, you were getting, especially in the playoffs, scoring from Jordan Martinook and Jesper Foss, like folks that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be putting up goals. They contributed. So it was a top to bottom team effort. And I think that's one of the more encouraging things, that you're not just riding a couple superstars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Wade, you know, looking back, you've seen a lot of Canes teams over the years, both as a fan during your days as part of the immortal Section 328, as a PA announcer now. What is it in your mind that made this group in particular special, you know, for the run that they had this season?
I think when everyone was healthy, the biggest thing I noticed was that everyone was slotted into the correct spot. You didn't have a fourth line player being expected to play first line minutes. You didn't have defensemen who had to play their offside because you had no other choice. You had people who could contribute. And I think it's an underrated part of the game where you can play to everybody's strengths, whether they're, you know, a first line goal scorer, a fourth line grinder, a third pair defense, starting goalie, a backup goalie. And during the stretches where we were piling up points, eventually making our way to second best record overall in the league, that was one of the things that I really noticed, that you didn't really feel like anyone was playing out of place, which then allowed everyone to shine in their particular roles.
And then, okay. You know,
sorry.
No, you're good. You know, speaking again to, you know, everything you've been through and seen over the years as a PA announcer, as a Hurricanes fan, how much more appreciation do you have for seasons and runs and moments like what we just saw after going through, you know, quote unquote, the dark days, you know, the 10-year playoff drought and all the not so fun times that came with that?
It really does. And I think, you know, people who have come into the Caniac Nation here recently, and we're absolutely glad to have them on board. But folks who didn't necessarily live through, you know, the 10-year playoff drought or the period in time before that where you'd make the playoffs once and miss it for three or four seasons, you know, yes, the past few postseasons have been, you know, somewhat of a disappointment given kind of where the team was going. But I'd absolutely take that over, you know, 10 years of being the first or second team out of the playoffs, mm-hmm. or, you know, being bad enough to be disappointing to watch, but not bad enough to get top draft picks. So being able to put together a string of success like we have under Rod Brendamore over the past 5 years, being able to have a team like we did this year that was the second best team in the entire NHL, behind only a Boston juggernaut that was one for the ages, it does make you appreciate how far we've come. And now kind of the deal is that because we've had so much sustained success in the regular season, because we've made the playoffs 5 years in a row, made two Eastern Conference finals over that stretch, that expectations are elevated. And well, they should be. But, you know, for the folks who've been around for a while and remember kind of days of not fun hockey, days of, you know, the front office not necessarily bringing the best players to bear, it really is a 9-day difference. And I'll trade an Eastern Conference final sweep over, you know, the days of mediocrity all any day of the week.
Well, and that kind of leads me into my next question, what you just said about expectations being raised, because it does feel like, you know, the days of the Hurricanes being, you know, happy to be here when you get to this stage of the playoffs are long gone. And do you feel like, you know, but still, do you feel like given everything, given the guys they were missing, kind of how we all felt probably about this team going into the playoffs, like this season as a whole was a success with where they got?
The season was absolutely a success. And the fact that it hurts so much right now is because of those raised expectations. But, you know, looking just at the standings, this was an amazing season. Looking at the run of playoffs was amazing. And because we lost so much goal scoring up front, both early in the season as well as right after the trade deadline, unfortunately, the fact that we were able to knock off two teams in convincing fashion, including the third best team in the NHL, it is a positive sign that, you know, the defense stood strong. The goalies were amazing. We got depth scoring when we needed it. And that's the type of thing that we didn't get in years past. You know, if you had told me back in 2015, we're going to be very upset that we didn't get past our second Eastern Conference final in 5 years, I'd been like, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
So the season is an unquestioned success. It wasn't as good as it could be. And I think seeing that the stars kind of had aligned for us with a path to the Stanley Cup final and potentially the cup itself with the teams that had gotten knocked out early, that certainly does make the disappointment even more pronounced. But, you know, that doesn't take away from what the team did. And that's on top of wowing the entire league with a stadium series that was won for the ages. The 2022-23 season is undoubtedly a success. And, you know, if you come back next year stronger, if you kind of address some depth issues, if people stay healthier than they did this year, and you can go on a run, then I think you look at this a couple years from now as the appetizer before the main course.
Yeah, and you mentioned the stadium series, and that obviously is a testament to the growth of hockey in quote-unquote non-traditional markets. You also look at the Final Four teams that we had, and we will talk about a big growth in non-traditional hockey markets right after this quick break, folks. Now, attention active individuals. Are you tired of sacrificing your comfort for style when it comes to your activewear? Introducing Bird Dogs, the game changer in athletic shorts. Picture this: premium shorts designed for maximum performance combined with unparalleled comfort. Bird Dogs are here to revolutionize your workout routine. With their unique built-in liner, these shorts offer ultimate support and flexibility, ensuring you stay comfortable during even the most intense workouts. And here's the best part. Bird Dogs are more than just workout gear. They're versatile enough to take you from the gym to the street without skipping a beat. Designed with pockets that actually work, Bird Dogs give you ample space to store your essentials while you're on the move. Bird Dogs are made with premium breathable fabric that keeps you cool and dry throughout your activities. Perfect for trails, the gym, or simply lounging around. Bird Dogs are the shorts you've been searching for. I wore mine to Monday Night Raw the other week in Greensboro and the other day when I was in Charlotte to go see Paramore, and they're extremely comfortable, and actually I'm wearing a pair right now. Order your pair of Bird Dogs today and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have made the switch. Visit birddogs.com/lockedonNHL to get a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. Bird Dogs, unleash where style meets comfort and performance meets perfection. Get yours now and unleash your true potential. I got ahead of myself there. Now, talk about, you know, the growth of hockey in non-traditional markets. Stadium Series was a fever dream. It was great. We all had fun there at that. And all Final Four teams were from non-traditional markets, with the northernmost being Vegas, which is crazy to say. And, you know, it has been a sustained thing of these teams in these markets being successful. Go back, you know, to all the champs since 2000. Like, you have Dallas, you have us, you have Anaheim, you have Tampa Bay winning multiple ones. It's not a new thing. And what do you feel like, you know, has also LA, which we're about to mention here in a second. But in your opinion, what has been the cause of the growth in these markets besides Wayne Gretzky going to LA?
I mean, it's just such a fun sport. And up until very recently, it was the kind of sport you would have to see live to really understand how fun it is. I maintain that no sport has benefited more from the transition to large, high-def, widescreen TVs than hockey. Because, if you know, those of us been around for a while, if you remember trying to watch hockey on an old kind of pre-HD square TV, it was painful. Mm-hmm. You know, even people who knew the sport would have trouble watching it. But now everyone's got big TVs with crystal clear definition, and, you know, you can follow the puck. So as the teams have moved into non-traditional markets, as the media has improved, as people get a chance to experience it in person, I think just the excitement around the sport itself becomes easier to get a hold of. Plus, you know, as we've seen with the growth of youth hockey here in the Triangle, if kids see the game, they want to play the game. If they play the game, the footprint of available players gets larger. You know, you've got Shane Gostisbehere, grew up in South Florida. Obviously, Austin Matthews coming from Arizona. So the talent pool will expand the more good athletes start playing the sport. And so that's a benefit for everybody. And you know, just about a month ago here in the Triangle, students organized their own high school hockey league. And so you've got Broughton playing, you got Wakefield, you got Inlow, you've got these high schools in the area, you know, not official sanctioned varsity sports, but they're fielding teams of their students. And from everything I've heard, those games are amazing. They packed Invisalign Arena for a high school hockey game a few weeks ago. There's one that I think my daughters might attend because they're Inlow students. There's Inlow versus Wakefield up here in Wake Forest tomorrow night. And so enough good kids are playing, and there's enough high school students who want to do this that there's now kind of a semi-unofficial high school league, which is great to see. You wouldn't see that 10 years ago. You wouldn't see that 15 years ago. And I imagine similar things are happening all around kind of the newer markets in the league. So it's great to see. The more people who love the sport, the more people who play the sport, the better it's going to be for everybody.
Yeah, and yeah, you talk my brain just totally turned to mashed potatoes there.
I know that feeling.
But you know, one thing, you know, with you know, the Hurricanes is that the fan base is very, very tight knit. Like they're a family, and you know, you see that, you know, all over social media, you know, all the time, folks interacting with each other. And you yourself have been a great ambassador for the organization, you know, back when you're on Twitter, you know, always engaging with folks. And you know, you go around, you know, your tailgate, you know, you're walking around, you know, going to see people at tailgates, walking around the arena. And you know, how does this compare now in 2023 compared to when you started?
I mean, certainly more people know who I am, which is both cool and kind of weird.
Yeah.
I've also lost my first name, so that's kind of fun. I'm like Cher or Madonna. I'm only Mentor now. But you know, you walk the concourse like I do before the game, and have been doing for the past 8 years, and there's definitely a better vibe around. You don't see as many visiting fans kind of dominating the concourse. You know, you see people who are excited to be there. They've been out tailgating. They're ready to see some good hockey. They've got a bunch of other Caniacs with them. And the mood is very, very high. And so that's kind of one of the reasons I do my little walk around the concourse before the games, is I really want to get a sense of, you know, what is the vibe in the building? What do I need to do as a PA announcer to match and enhance that vibe? And, you know, significantly more good days than bad. Walking around the concourse in 2022-23.
Yeah. And hold on just a second. That was a weird echo there. And another thing is, you know, you've been posting your calls on TikTok a lot recently. And, you know, your Auntie Ronta one being a personal favorite of mine. What prompted you to just start, you know, putting those calls up there?
You know, I want to explore other social media networks, just kind of see what they're like. And so, you know, when I kind of drop Twitter off my menu, I haven't been on Facebook in years, haven't been on Instagram in years. That seemed like a natural place to start putting things. And the reaction has been quite good. You know, I kind of post things relatively sporadically, but I try to give people a little look behind the scenes as to how these things come together. And it's been probably most entertaining for me is that my youngest daughter is 16. She's a high school, finishing up her junior in high school. And she's been around me when people come up to me and say, "Hey, Mentor, I see your stuff on TikTok all the time. And if you ever want to find a really good way to mortify a 16-year-old girl, have her dad be the TikTok guy when people come up and talk to us." It's delicious. Just the cringe on her face as people are like, "Mentor, you're the TikTok guy, right?" Yeah, that's right. 47-year-old me is the TikTok guy. Take that, kid.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah, that entertains me more than it probably does anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at, you know, we got some questions from some of our fellow hosts around the league. Anna from Locked On Preds wants to know, what is your vocal warm-up routine for these games?
Coffee. No, because I'm not like a trained voice actor like a lot of the folks in the league. I'm not, I don't work in radio. I do 99% of this stuff by instinct. So, you know, I've got some friends in the business who are like, oh yeah, you know, 2 days before I really start hydrating, then I drink tea with, you know, 3 squeezes of lemon during each intermission. I just show up and talk. So my vocal warm-up is non-existent. Much to my daughter, my youngest daughter, who is also in chorus, her chagrin, I prime my vocal cords with lattes, which she tells me is the absolutely wrong thing to be doing. But, you know, that's my particular routine. So my pregame routine is just winging it.
I respect it. We do the same.
Plate of barbecue and slaw from the press room and you're good to go, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The vinegar, I would say, kind of, keeps the vocal cords in shape.
And, you know, obviously everyone knows you do the Canes games. You know, that's why you're here, of course.
I've heard a lot of folks,
you know, may not know you also do NC State Ice Pack games. And you also do Gouge professional wrestling shows. And, you know, what are your different approaches for all those? Obviously, I know Canes and Ice Pack may be a bit similar, though.
They are, although it's a little more involved at the Ice Pack because I'm not only doing the announcing, I'm also DJing. So I'm dropping the music in there and interacting with the officials, which I really don't get to do anymore. You know, a lot of my announcing style comes from pro wrestling. So I've been, you know, I was a fan growing up watching, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions while I was living in Southern Virginia as a kid. I've been able to do Gouge professional wrestling for the past 11 years or so. So I've been doing it about 5 years before I got the Canes job. I've done improv comedy for 25, 26 years now in a sports themed improv show where there is a announcer character that I did for a very, very long time. So all that kind of melds into whatever my announcer persona is for the Canes. And it is a character that I put on and I take off. But one of the things I think fans have really kind of latched onto is the way I say player names. Mm-hmm. And I'm very consistent in how I do it. And I'm very distinct in how I do it. And that kind of, you know, name introduction sort of thing is 100% coming out of pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The ring announcers there who make the wrestlers' names as big as possible. There's a lot of Howard Finkel in my style in terms of the way I talk and the way I present it. So all those influences kind of turned me into me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, you know, has their own path to get to where they're going. There's a lot of guys that I enjoy listening to where I'm like, I could not do that style and pull it off convincingly, which is fine. I've got my style. And, you know, when people on rare occasions ask me for advice about this this type of role, the thing I usually tell them is, if you sound like everybody else, you could be anybody else. So find your style. Find the things that work for you. Find the things where if you're announcing something, people be like, I know who that is. Like, that can't be anybody else. Other folks may not like it, and that's cool, but have a very distinct style. So a lot of my distinct style vocally comes from pro wrestling. A lot of my distinct style in terms of how I react to things happening in the game, that comes from improv. A lot of the distinct stuff I do about just kind of my fan interaction also comes from pro wrestling, where you're the one who has to hype up the crowd. So yeah, those are kind of my influences, and I take a little bit of each of those with me everywhere I go.
So when you apologized for the third overtime intermission, that was improv?
That was improv. Yes. A lot of the stuff that has actually kind of, you know, people have paid attention to is pure improv. It's me just kind of trying to react in the moment and make it fun. You know, that's one of the things doing comedy sports teaches you is, you know, how do you take obvious mistakes and make them fun, or, you know, take situations and make them fun. And that sort of mindset drives a lot of the kind of one-liners, ad libs, the stuff I'm doing during the Mighty Mites game, the stuff I'm doing when I'm hosting from far above, some of the intermission contests, things like that. That's all improv.
Yeah, of course. And we all obviously really, really enjoy it. And we have much more to talk about with Wade right after this quick break, folks. Now, for a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is the perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head over to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits just right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. Summer is right around the corner here in North Carolina, and it is going to be hot, so you want to make sure your AC is working just right. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available for U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Now, you know, getting back, you know, into, you know, everything going on, and Andrew's actually going to take the lead on this one because I know he was dying to ask this question.
Yeah, this is a question that might have played a smidge better were we doing this when the Hurricanes still had a shot at going to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. But the thing I thought about is, you know, we always hear about, like, you know, players on the driveway, on the frozen ponds, whatever, you know, they act out their fantasies of, like, playing in the Stanley Cup final, winning the Stanley Cup, scoring that winning goal. Do you ever, like, act out or visualize or think about, like, what it would sound like if you got to, like, make the calls at home for the Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup in PNC Arena?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially when playoff time starts, you know, I always try to think ahead, like, where do I think this is going? What do I need to do to set up for it? So, yeah, especially in both years of my tenure where we've made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm absolutely thinking about what would it be like to intro the starting lineups on TV for game one? What would it be like to, you know, move us on another few wins closer to the cup? What would it be like to announce the cup win on home ice? Yeah, those things always run through my head. I am a planner for good or for bad. And, you know, in the regular season, you never know. I try not to get too far ahead of myself. But in the playoffs, I'm absolutely thinking, you know, what would it be like? And, you know, one day hope to experience that.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about that. You know, one thing that just came to my mind now, you know, we obviously all love the Hurricanes, you know, that we're all fans as
that
well,
makes sense,
but, you know,
yes.
having to, you know, detach, you know, your fan self from, you know, your job, how do you go about doing that? Of, you know, you're up there in your spot and, you know, they score a big goal, you know, do you have to, like, compose yourself and, you know, not go nuts, or, you know, do you, you know, give yourself a little fist pump?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was a fan first. I'm still a fan. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I'm able to keep it composed by and large because the announcer character that I put on is professionally detached from it. So you know, mm-hmm. that character is not getting too emotionally invested in the game. Now, when I come home and I'm talking to my family, I'm absolutely emotionally invested in what just happened. But you know, a couple times I've thrown up my hands at a bad call or something, and you know, then I'm like, "What? No, gotta, mm-hmm. gotta kind of bring that in." And it is interesting. In any sort of activity, the closer you are to the inner workings of it, it does significantly change your approach to it. Like, I've been in comedy for so many years, I can't just enjoy a comedy show anymore. I go watch it and I'm dissecting. Why did they make that choice? What brought that? Okay, I see the thread they're connecting here. You know, I can appreciate a well-done comedy show, but I can't love it like I did before I got, you know, deep inside. Same thing with pro wrestling. I see how the card's getting put together. I see how we're kind of planning out finishes, stuff like that. I can't watch wrestling anymore as just kind of a fan enjoying it. I have to dissect it. Same thing now with hockey. You know, since I've been on the inside for about 8 years now, I like hockey. I watch a lot of hockey, but I can't watch it kind of as a pure fan anymore because I'm, you know, dissecting aspects of the game presentation. So it does change you kind of being on the inside. You know, I'm sure from a podcast perspective, you can't just listen to a podcast and be like, oh, that was fun. You're like, oh, I understand why they're doing this. Oh, that was a weird choice. I don't know if I would have done that. Like being on the inside of anything changes you. And, you know, I miss it to a large degree, but I also enjoy building things and putting things together. So, you know, being on the inside is wonderful, but it's a different type of fun, you know?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Cause yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I'll go listen to, you know, my podcast. I always listen to it. I'll always enjoy them. But you know, like, you know, they do, you know, an ad read. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I like how they did that, you know? So I completely understand there. And then of course, you know, you mentioned, you know, knowing how, you know, pro wrestling works. But you know, one thing we can all mention, agree on there is that Cody should have beat Roman at WrestleMania. But that's just my personal opinion there. But you know, one final question for you today. We're gonna have some fun with this last one. And you know, for folks that, you know, follow me on Twitter, followed you on Twitter when you were on there, they'll remember Rainforest Cafe. And some folks are gonna remember, you know, going back and forth about Rainforest Cafe. And yeah, you know, in your opinion, what Carolina Hurricanes player or players best spiritually inhabits Rainforest Cafe?
Oh my god, I've had a legendarily bad experience with Rainforest Cafe, so this is going to kind of color this. I do not have fond memories of Rainforest Cafe. So my family
we'll
and
just
I
go
lived
with the
in,
vibe of it then.
Yeah, my family and I lived in Texas for 2 years, from 08 to 2010. We were down in San Antonio for my job, and you know, my kids were pretty young at the time. My oldest was like kindergarten, first grade. My youngest was like a toddler. But we had spent a lot of time on the San Antonio Riverwalk because it is a delightful place. Have very, very fond memories of San Antonio. But there was a Rainforest Cafe on the Riverwalk in kind of the center of San Antonio. And so me and my oldest, Haley, we were down there for some reason, just the two of us. And she's like, I really want to go to Rainforest Cafe. I'm like, all right, yeah, they'll take you. So we walked over there and like, oh, there's wait, you know, 20, 30 minutes. We'll stick around. Like, 2 to 3 hours later, we still hadn't been seated. And like, we're walking up to the, you know, hostess desk to find out what's going on. And we got people like grumbling at us that we're like trying to skip the line. And eventually after about 2.5 hours, or so we bolted and went and got a Tex-Mex at our favorite place that was nearby. So from that point, especially with me and my oldest, Rainforest Cafe has been an inside joke of just terrible, terrible experiences. All that being said, I just wanted to get that story out because it's fun for me and maybe Haley will hear it and enjoy it. As far as, I guess, the vibe that Rainforest Cafe is trying to put out as opposed to my terrible experience with them, I would say Seth Jarvis has probably got the biggest Rainforest Cafe energy just because the man has nothing in between his head and his mouth. If a thought comes into his head, he's saying it. There's no filter whatsoever on that man. And it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. So I feel like, you know, if he's a talking animatronic up there in the fake rainforest, he would just be saying the most unhinged stuff. And that would, I think, enhance the vibe of a Rainforest Cafe if you had, you know, Toucan Seth Jarvis up there just stream of consciousness talking. That would make it a very entertaining place.
Oh my god, I honestly was expecting you to say like Brent Burns or something, you know, because he's all like rugged an animal jungle or something like that. I was not expecting Seth Jarvis, and I love it, and I cannot wait to put this out and quote that of Seth Jarvis gives off Rainforest Cafe vibes. Oh, that is hilarious. I love it. But thank you once again for coming on the show, Wade. We always love having you. Always love talking, whether it's, you know, through the computer, through in person. You know, we always really, really enjoy talking to you. And obviously, you know, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Hurricanes your first listen of this Thursday afternoon. You can follow myself on Twitter at @JaredEllis_96. You can follow Andrew at @AschNitt53 on Twitter with the Jeff Skinner shout out. And Wade, where can folks find you now if they wish to connect with you? I know you're not on Twitter anymore, but
yeah. Lurk around Wake Forest. I am on TikTok as WMentor42. I'm also on the new Blue Sky Network at WadeMentor.com. You can also find my website, WadeMentor.com. But yeah, you know, I'm just kind of floating around out there. I'll be taking a little European travel coming up in June and July, so that'll be fun. In two separate trips, we'll be hitting up Ireland, Finland, Paris, and then we're heading up to Canada on college tours for my youngest daughter. So I'm gonna get a chance to step away a little bit here in a few weeks and you know, spend some time with the family this summer, and that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep, enjoy. Ireland is on my bucket list of places to go to. I want to go to the Guinness storehouse and see the 10,000 year lease. But again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for talking to us. And as always, let's go Canes.